Hallelujah. We're going to get started, and we're going to be trying a couple things new. So just bear with me for a moment. And oh, you can't turn your phone while recording. Wow, that stinks. That's not going to work. Well, see, this is the fun part of technology. Learning and discovering things, just like we learn and discover things about Jesus. And unfortunately, the position of the camera makes me look like I'm 10 feet tall. But I'm broadcasting live out of Living Hope Christian Church. And tonight, we're going to be talking in our Thursday night service, our Thursday night Bible study, for Redeem. And so, welcome if you're tuning in or if you're paying attention. Great to have you. Hope you get blessed and enjoy the service. What is Redeem? Redeem is a ministry that is birthed out of the desire to share the Jewish perspective. Are we Jewish? Well, no, but we are Christian. And part of our heritage as Christians is a Jewish perspective. The Bible was written by Jews. How about that? And there are idioms and concepts and thoughts that helps to understand that Jewish thinking, that Jewish mindset, and appreciate the heritage that we have. Is that every time that we talk? It's mixed in here and there. But tonight, we're going to talk about purpose. So, what we're going to talk about is that as we come to the close of what would be the Jewish year, that it's a time of reflection. And I'm going to actually just pivot this. Again, we're just kind of doing a whole bunch of new things here. Lighting's not so hot, but that's all right. We'll get this. So think about this year. What have we accomplished? What have we gotten done this year? Where are we headed? Where are we progressing in what God has given us to do? This is a time of purpose. This is a time of our purpose. This is a time of your purpose. And so the point of tonight's discussion is that you know that God has a purpose for your life and that He wants you to fulfill it. And so God has a purpose for every person that has ever existed. You, me, people 100 years ago, people 1,000 years ago, people yet to be born. Everyone has a purpose in God. So what is it? Well, a great example of that can be found in God speaking through Moses to Pharaoh out of the book of Exodus. So we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 9, and we're going to read together. It says, Exodus chapter 9, 15 and 16. It says, now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up that I may show my power in you and that my name might be declared in all the earth. Now, this is God speaking to the leader of a superpower, essentially. This is kind of harsh. Basically, what God was saying was, if I had decided to afflict you with plagues, if I had decided to do some of the things that I might have done, you would have been wiped off the face of the earth. And that's no good. That really doesn't accomplish any kind of purpose, does it? To be essentially nuked in the ancient sense. But that's not what God's purpose was for Pharaoh. His purpose was to show His power in him, and that through him, the name of the Lord would be declared in all the earth. Now, think about that. Pharaoh, not a nice guy. Pretty bad dude. If God had that much purpose for Pharaoh, if God had that much purpose for Pharaoh, who was disobedient, selfish, hard-hearted, worldly, how much more purpose do you think God has for you, for me, for them. Quite a lot. Everyone has a purpose in God and a purpose from God. How do we know this? The book of John, the Gospel of John 12:32 says, "And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself." That's Jesus talking to his disciples. If I am lifted up, I will draw all peoples to myself. Why? Why would Jesus say that? Because he's demonstrating there's a purpose in his life and consequently a purpose in our lives. And that is the same thing that God said to Pharaoh, which is that God wants to show his power in us. God wants his name to be declared in all the earth through us. He did it with saying something to Pharaoh. Look, the reality is, at that time, we didn't know what Pharaoh would have done. This was all happening live. So what could have happened? Could Pharaoh have possibly said, "Gosh, you know, this God of yours, he's pretty much a big deal. Maybe I ought to listen." Well, if he had done that, would that have declared God's name throughout all the earth? Would that have shown God's power? Of course it would. But that's not the way it went. That's not the way the story was told. That's not the way things worked out. And either way, God still gets what he wants. And so through us, we have this opportunity through Jesus, through what Jesus has done for us, to shine, to show that power, whether it's the power of his mercy, whether it's the power of his grace, whether it's the power of his mighty spirit, his Ruach HaKodesh. Whatever it is, he wants to demonstrate that power through you. And he has a story to tell that only you can tell. You're his first choice. And so, why? Why? Why should we care? Who cares about this? Well, John and Matthew comment on this a bit. In John 16, 14 to 16, it says, "He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." This is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he's giving them a little heads up. He's telling them, "Listen, guys, this is how this is going to go down. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take care of mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father." God will declare it to you through his life. And again, we go back to where Jesus said, "If I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. I will declare the power of the Lord through that." And so we see that thereof, listen, by believing in Jesus, by trusting in Jesus, by following Jesus, by having Jesus lifted up in our lives, we draw all men and women to ourselves, and we demonstrate his power through us, the power of the Lord in our lives, and that through us, his name might be declared all over the earth. Matthew 28:19 and 20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." If you're familiar with the scriptures, if you've sat in church on many a Sunday, you'll know this is the Great Commission out of Matthew 28:19 and 20. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." That is declaring. That is making known. That is showing his power over the earth to go and to share, to go and to demonstrate, to go and to make disciples, to go and transform people's lives by doing, not just talking about it. But how? Great. Great message, Pastor. Wonderful. That's really spiritual. Big deal. Unless we know how to do it. So how do we do it? Where do we start? Well, it's easy. You start right here.
right now. Today. So the first step, step one, point one, is
praying is the first step in your purpose. Praying is the first step we take on our story, our journey together with Jesus. Praying is a great place to begin when you don't know where to begin. Asking Him to help us do what He wants. Asking Him to help us meet people who need Jesus. Asking Him to help us to be bold in prayer for others so that they might see His power in them, that they might declare His name through the earth in belief and action. It's not just talking the talk. We have to impact people. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. But we don't have any ability to do this beyond. You need two things to do this. You need a willing soul. What's a soul? Well, it's your mind, your will, your emotions. It's you. What makes you you? You have to be willing. You don't have to be a super Christian. You don't have to be superhuman. You don't have to be an expert. You just have to be willing. That's the first thing. Second thing is a trusting heart to the Lord. Because I'm sure that some of you might be listening, going, oh, trusting, you don't understand. I've trusted before. Well, I understand. But we need to trust the Lord, who is better than any man or woman or human, and loves us more than we can ever know. Paul himself, the Apostle Paul himself, preached out of 1 Corinthians 2, 3 through 5. He said, I was with you in weakness. I was with you in fear. I was with you in much trembling. This is Paul. Paul who went to school. Paul who was an elite, who was the Jew of Jews, as he put it. He knew his stuff. And he's saying, I was weak. I was in fear. I was trembling. And my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words. Words of human wisdom. The pop philosophy of the era. But in demonstration of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and of power. Why? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, we just need to be willing, and we need to trust in the Lord, because we don't have everything. We don't need that. We just need to rely on Jesus. And if Paul says that about himself, and let's kind of break that down of what was said, Paul said, I was weak. I wasn't confident. I was in fear and much trembling. Paul. Maybe Paul had a problem with public speaking. You know, a lot of people, that's the biggest fear. But his preaching and his speech was by the power of the Holy Spirit. He had a willing heart and a trusting... A willing soul and a trusting heart to God accomplishing the purpose. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, Paul wasn't coming in saying, I'm going to come and preach a masterful message, and I'm going to wow you with things. He just came in and shared what he knew. And he trusted God. And that's all God asks of us is, would you trust me? Would you let me help? Would you be willing to put yourself in a place or talk to somebody so that I can move? And you don't have to worry about the results. You just simply need to show up. Point two, pursuing. Don't wait for them. Point two is pursuing. In other words, we got to get up and go get them. Oftentimes we sit there and we may pray, oh Lord, you know, I want to help, and oh Lord, send me to people, and then we wait. We wait, and we wait. We wait some more. Doesn't seem like anything's happening. Well, you know what? You don't need to wait. They're all around. Friends, neighbors, coworkers, people you pass by every day. Those are the people that you can reach. Now, do you start with an alphabetical list and work them down? Well, no, you don't have to do that, of course. Galatians 6, 7 through 10 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." What does that mean in relationship to pursuing people? Simply that we need to pursue God. We need to pursue what God wants. What does God want? He wants to change people's lives. He wants to tell people that He's real. He wants to show them His power. And He wants His name declared amongst them. And how do we do that? By asking Him for help. By asking Him, where should I go? Who should I talk to? Give me the courage I need to do and to know when it's time, when it's, oh, it's this is the moment. How do we know what the moment is? Well, listen for needs. If somebody around you has a need, take that time in here and say, Lord, is it now? Is it time to pray? Should I offer to pray with them? Hey, you know what? Can I pray with you? People might be surprised. Now, if they say, no, that's okay, that's cool, man. Okay, peace be with you. Just carry on. But keep doing that, because eventually you will find someone who will let you pray and wait and trust and see what God will do. Look for opportunity to show and share Jesus around you. If someone is sick, do they have a need? Well, James 5:14 tells us, if someone's sick, call for the elders of the church. Well, that's important, but you know, sometimes there isn't an elder around. Is there an elder in the house? Is there an elder in the house? Maybe not. So it's up to you. You go pray for them. You offer to bring them soup. You do something because of the love of Jesus. And you let them know, and don't beat them over the head with it, but just tell them, I'm doing this because you know what? Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. Jesus knows your situation, and He wants you to know, and I'm here as a result of that. That's a chance, every time we do that, for God to reveal Himself. You don't have to meet their need. You personally don't have to meet their need, unless the Lord puts that on your heart to do so. Like, oh, you know, they're hungry and they're sick and they can't make food. Okay, well, maybe the Lord puts it on your heart to bring them some soup or do something nice for them. That's okay. Jesus said, you have the poor amongst you always. So you can do nice things for them anytime that you feel like it. But if the Lord tells you to do it, well, then you need to do it. The point is this. It's pursuing people for Jesus is not a performance act. This is not where you're going to get scored. 8.5. You forgot a few things. It's not about performance. It's not about you and me personally generating results and making things happen. Mm-mm. That's a mistake. That puts us in the position of, I'm going to be Messiah. That's not Bible. That's not biblical. What it is about is a petition. When you or I pray to God, we are asking Him to answer. They're not coming to me to answer a prayer for them. You know, heal me of this or give me a job or do this. I can't do anything about that. But I can go to God and say, Lord, would you help this person, please? Would you answer them? And if the Lord decides, yeah, I think I will. Well, now He gets the glory. Otherwise, if it's us, if it's my faith needs to be big and I need to get hyped up and I need to impress these people so that they'll get saved and follow Jesus and come to my church and do these things, we're taking the glory to us, and that's not right. We are asking God on their behalf to do something. They simply have to be open that it's not coincidence. And one thing you could do is this. Offer to pray for them. And just ask them this. Would you please do me a favor? Could you try this? That whatever we pray for the next 48, 72 hours, 2-3 days, if something happens, could you not ascribe it to coincidence? Could you entertain the possibility that there is a God who loves and cares about you. Scientific method does this all the time. It's correlation. Now, in scientific method, it's a matter of testing and testing and testing, but nowhere in the scientific method do you get a result and go, no, that's just coincidence. No, that data is recorded and considered and evaluated appropriately. Why should it be any different with the Lord? Point number three. One, two, three. Point number three, persisting. Don't give up. Keep looking. Galatians 6, 9 and 10, continuing on, says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Today, it's hard to do that. Therefore, as we have opportunity pursuing, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Let me give you an example from Olympic sports. There was a guy named Derek Redmond who tore his hamstring running in the 1992 Olympics. And I can't even imagine how painful that had to have been. He was running the 400 meters, and he was just trying his hardest, and his father came onto the field and helped him finish. And it was considered one of the greatest moments in Olympic history, just a beautiful event. And while he didn't finish officially, he crossed that line to a standing ovation of people, not only in the stadium, but around the world. And it became a great moment of humanity in the Olympic marketing, as it were. But it tells us something. He could have just said, oh, I tore my hamstring. Boy, it's such a shame. I quit. Carry me off the field. And he said, no. He said, no. I have trained. I have come all this way to finish the race. And by God, I'm going to finish it. And his father came down, put his arm around his son, and helped support him as they walked across together. And it's a beautiful picture of the Spirit that you may feel like you've torn a hamstring or worse, and that you can't finish, but you can. You just have to not give up like Derek Redmond. One step at a time. Keep going. One step closer. One more day. One more prayer. One more person. And your Father will help you. James 5, 7 and 8. It says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. We need to be patient. We need to establish our hearts. How do we do that? We ground ourselves in Jesus. We establish our hearts by the first two points, by seeking the Lord and saying, God, help me. Lord, help me to know who to talk to. Lord, show me what to do and help me to have courage when the moment is upon me that I don't freeze up or say the wrong thing. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And verse 11, it goes down to say, indeed, we count them blessed who endure, who carry on, who finish the race, who persist and pursue to the goal. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord in his life, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And so he is to you. The Lord cares about you. The Lord wants to see you win. The Lord wants to see you finish that race. And he is willing and able to put his arms around you and help you take each step toward that finish line. And so tonight, I'd like to pray with you. And if you're listening, even if we're not listening live, this actually works because God is beyond all time and space. So through the power of the Almighty Lord, if you're in need of courage, if you're in need of perseverance, if you're in need of pursuing that goal, and if you're in need of just, I don't even know where to begin, let me pray with you right now. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for whomever is listening that you would first and foremost speak to them of your love, of your compassion, and of your mercy for them, that you died on the cross for them, and that you are the only answer for their hope and salvation. Father, I pray that you would speak to them in various ways, and that you would encourage them to take that next step, to show them who they can pray with and who they can talk to open their eyes to see all the people around that they have access to, and to give them the wisdom when to speak and what to say, to give them courage to speak up, to offer to pray, or to do something in Jesus' name to bless them. God, I pray that they would not give up, that they would be established in their hearts, as it says, in Jesus and in your purpose, so that they might finish the race and hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. I pray you're blessed. If you're in the South Jersey area, we have Thursday night services starting at 7:30 p.m. till about 9 o'clock, and we would love to see you. So thank you for tuning in. I hope you got blessed, and I'm eager to hear what God does for you.